November 10th, 2018 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been busy with classwork. That's kept me going quite a bit, and a few reports at work that I had to do as well. So, next on the list we have Greg, ZL3IX, shown as mic muted. And then we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the sessions to TeamSpeak Archive on OpenHPSDR. Then we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. you can probably tell the hay fever season started down here. Apart from that, everything's fine. This week I've been catching up on my backlog of work and emails from my trip overseas, so not much time for anything else, I'm afraid. Been doing a little bit of work helping a few folks with envelope tracking and envelope elimination and restoration code in the FPGAs, little group firing up there, building high-power amplifiers using ET and EER, which is very exciting, one of my favorite topics at the moment. So I've been doing that, and a lot of email to respond to this week, mainly due to FPGA code issues, or not issues, but mainly questions. I'm afraid that's it, and I've got I haven't got a trip this week. I've got a trip next week after next, to China, and going to get a chance to spend a day at the Shenzhen electronics markets, which I'm really looking forward to. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, seeing where most of the world electronics is built nowadays. And next week, unfortunately, I've got visitors from overseas to look after, so I think it's going to be a pretty quiet week opening PSDR wise next week. News from down under. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Rick, VE3MM. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, Dave and everyone. Not too much to report here. Haven't been doing too much radio stuff to make it here to TeamSpeak tonight.
Yeah, Rick, I got most of that, but you keep touching your microphone or something, and every time you touch it, the volume goes down. Next on the list is Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, nothing really to report here radio-wise, but good to hear everybody and listen in. So, Phil, I take it the EER stuff that you're looking at from the, I guess, the Hermes Light guys or somebody over there looked like they were playing around with it. So I'll turn it back to you, Dave.
Well, and we have one more on the list, Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way, so we're open for general discussion.
Now, the group that are looking at are using Hermes at the moment for EER and ET did ask the same question on the Hermes Light group, mainly because they're looking for a low-cost solution for high-power amplifiers. And because of the economical cost of the Hermes Light, they asked the questions there. But at the moment, the Hermes Light doesn't include the ET and EER code that's in the current Hermes code, so that would need to be added. But there's no reason why it couldn't. It's not a large amount of code, but currently it's not being supported. That was the reason for quite a long discussions on the on the Hermes Light reflector. I'm trying to see who the guys are. We got Rudy from Germany, who I've been working with for a lot while, but I can't see the emails in front of me at the moment for the other people that are working. I know one of the guys has written quite an extensive article on this topic in QEX, but I can't find the information at the moment.
Yeah, okay. No, I'd seen some of the discussion on the Hermes Light and figured that would warm your heart.
No, it's good to see, and Rudy's now retired, so he has a lot more time to work on this project. So I think we're going to see a lot of great work based on what he demonstrated to Friedrichshafen this year. But very exciting. It's a, area I've been interested into a long time. And both Warren did, Warren and I did a lot of work, Warren in Paris DR and myself in the FPGA to support these type of amplifiers.
Yeah, neat technique. So hopefully it'll work. Will prove good.
Yeah, there's some new gallium arsenide transistors coming out, which look extremely attractive for not only the PWM to generate the envelope signal, but also for generating the RF. And they're high power and pretty inexpensive. So the risk of getting through a number of expensive power transistors where you designed this thing is not quite so high anymore.
I'll make it easier.
The only thing I had little time for today was a work project which involved having one of the infrared cameras with no infrared filter on a Raspberry Pi 3 for some image capture, which is a bit of fun.
Oh, really? How'd that work? I've always wanted to go try that out and just, put one in and see what wildlife I see outside at night and things like that.
It works very well. I mean, they're pretty sensitive without any IR illumination, but you really need a few IR LEDs around it to illuminate it well. But it's 8-megapixel camera, and I was very impressed with the quality of the image you get.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, and then sort of planning my trip to China and working out how I can maximize the day off I'll get to spend as much time as possible going around the Shenzhen electronics markets.
You read Bunny Wang's book, right?
I'm actually reading it at the moment.
For some reason, I thought he had look at his website. I think he had a field guide or something to the markets.
Yeah, Seed Studio have a map, which is very nicely done, which gives you a map of the area and little icons over the map showing you who's who in the zoo and where to go.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
You may have to take an extra bag with you.
I'm going to, yeah.
By the way, Dave Witten and myself have been getting our Jetson TK1s back in working order, and so that's been fun.
Hopefully you guys are taking good notes on the refurb process.
Well, I was trying one of the older distributions that was closer to what I had, and Dave said, well, why don't you try one of the newer ones, and that's actually solved the problem.
Yeah, I guess that can be an approach, is if somebody finally fixes the bug that was hitting you.
Yep, he found it was a 21.3 or 21.4, and he put that in and it just worked. I was trying to make 19.3 work, and it ran fine, but it couldn't find the file system, and it just basically said no file system found.
Well, that's interesting. I went through the process of learning how to read the file system and then reinstall it using the bootloader. And a couple of days later, I found I damaged something and I actually needed to have to reload it. So I've actually been able to do that. It's pretty simple using the other USB socket. But the big problem I've got with mine is that I can connect an external SATA drive by the USB connector, but whenever I try and connect to the SATA drive directly on the PCB, then it doesn't recognize the external drive. And so although the external drive works fine as a USB connected device, I wonder if there's a later version of the operating system that's fixed that problem. I wonder if you know, Dave.
I don't know. I do know back when I had the system running properly the first time, I was able to plug in a SATA drive and got it seemed to work, but I didn't put a lot of stuff on it. And I haven't tried this time. I just got it working in the last week or so. So, but it's nice. It's running by itself, and I'm learning the differences between Linux on an ARM and Linux on a AMD 64 and how to work around those differences.
Okay, fine. I think a little bit of a play with Linux on the Raspberry Pi, and seems to be seems to run quite nicely, and not too much of a different learning curve than from the TK1.
And I tried out all my I have Lin HPSDR on there, and tried that with each of my radios, and it seems to display very nicely.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I've got Linrad running on the TK1 as well. That seems to, as you say, works quite nicely.
I also ended up purchasing a 1050 graphics board, so I guess I'm pretty much caught up with where you are.
Okay, did you get the straight or the TI version?
I did get the TI version.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I'm running. Yeah, very works very nicely. Nice card.
And it did a nice job. I have, you know, an Atlas set and a Hermes set and then Scotty's board. And on one of them, I was able to get up to 1,500 or 15,000 bandwidth. But most of them, I'm going up to about 500.
Sorry, what bandwidth that say?
Well, let's see. Most of them, it's in the... I can't remember the decimal or the number. So it goes 196, 384, then the next one up is 500 and something, and then there's an 800 and then a 1500. And I was on one of those radios able to get up to 1500 for one radio.
Oh, okay, fine, understood. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the link. Yeah, that's the book I've got, Bill.
Yeah, I knew I'd seen something about that, and so it should do you well.
You can buy it as a PDF or ebook. So that's, so I've got it, so I can sort of carry it on the on the iPad while I'm mobile.
Yeah, I see that. So you've had an iPad forever, haven't you? You've got like a, I don't know if you still have it, but you had like an original iPad, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got one when they first came out, and it virtually runs nothing nowadays. That's the problem.
Yeah, I have one I use. I use a lot for work, actually, because I have a corporate subscription to the Safari Online Books, which is for technical stuff is quite useful. But I find the display rather eye fatiguing for some reason. So for your camera stuff, did you get a special camera, or you just get one of the Pi cameras that doesn't have the IR filter on it?
Yeah, I got the no IR filter camera. It actually comes with a little filter, so if you want to use it in daylight, you can put this bit of filter over the lens, because otherwise things tend to have a bit of a purpley haze to it if you want to use it, you know, seriously in daylight. But for the particular application I had, I wanted it in night vision.
Oh, pretty neat. But, yeah, hopefully, well, one of these days, hopefully find some time to play with that.